scribes and Pharisees are asking for a sign. It's ironic that they would, you know, because in the later, slightly later rabbinic tradition, there was a dispute, and the majority of the doctors of the law held an opinion, and there was one man held another, and there was one miracle after another to sustain his opinion, and finally what they call a bat kol, a voice came from heaven. And the answer was, even if a voice comes from heaven, this is the decision, and we stand by this decision. Now they're asking for a sign. Why? Probably to put off believing. We do that, you know. Just one more sign. Just one more this, one more that. It's trying to tell God, you know, force me to believe. See, belief is entrusting yourself to God. You've spoken, you've acted, and I believe you. It's not just, you know, I believe that water expands at 4 degrees centigrade or something like that. Because you can go prove that. This is the whole basis of our relationship to God, is that we trust Him and believe what He tells us. And that puts us in a situation of dependence on God. And we don't want that. So we want a sign. Now, the Lord does how many miracles a day? Who knows? I mean, how many at Lourdes? How many in hospitals? We don't know. See, but a sign, by definition, is something you follow. If I'm going down 270, the sign says Rockville, so I park. This isn't Rockville. This is the sign that pointed to Rockville. I'm not there. I'm just at the sign. If I want to get to Rockville, I have to follow the sign. So our Lord's works are signs, pointing, moving us. And of course, our Lord's answer is, an evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign. We want to be sure on our terms. You know, you seem to be a nice fellow, Jesus. You say some very wise things. You might even be a prophet of some type. But for us to believe what you're saying, we have to be sure on our terms. And so this sign of Jonah was in the Jewish tradition sort of the sign of how God can rescue unfaithful Israel. God told Jonah, go northeast, and he headed southwest. Because he didn't want to preach repentance to the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to. Now, you know, the whole story is probably a satire on the narrow-mindedness and self-centeredness of the post-exilic Jews. We're comfy, we're happy. And this author, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells his story about Jonah to say, you can't be comfy and happy. The world doesn't know God. There's no way you can be comfy and happy. And so that's why the author wrote the book of Jonah. And so, but the sign is the sign of, even though he disobeyed, he went the wrong way, they had to throw him overboard to save the boat. Yeah, then this is where the story was supposed to be preposterous, you know. A big whale swallows him and dumps him back where he started from. Another chance. So now when he goes to preach repentance up at Nineveh, he knows what he's talking about. And he's still, of course, not totally happy because he doesn't like them. And they repent and God saves them. And he's very discontent about that. But why is he a sign? Because he's the preacher of repentance. In the liturgy of Yom Kippur, this is the book read. The preacher of repentance. Why is that so important? And why does God ask this of us? It's the only way he can share his life with us. Is that it will turn to him and obey him. It's the only way. And he loves us so much that he wants us to return to him. In Hebrew, the word for conversion is return. It comes from the root, shuv, to return. Come back. Come back. And here's Jesus, you know, standing there with the message of salvation. And so he says, you know, at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will rise with this generation and condemn it. Because they repented at Jonah's preaching. And you've got something greater than Jonah standing right here. Not only that, and now, of course, he's taking non-Jews, you see. And the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it. Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's something greater than Solomon here. Now, there are many obstacles to repentance. Which is the one our Lord's going after here? I think we'd have to say complacency. Complacent. And this is breaking his heart. There is eternal life being offered to you. This friendship with the creator of the universe being offered to you. This partnership with the savior of the world being offered to you. Come, let us build this world. Let us save this world. Let us lift from it the darkness. So repent. Stop sinning. The saints are such a model. How they keep on trying, you know. Never saying, well, you know, I can coast. I'm doing all right. Never. Because the effort at repentance, at the beginning, of course, is for survival. But, you know, in theology, somebody comes to confession because they're scared of hell. Good enough. Maybe they'll learn to love God down the road, but at least they're smart enough to be scared of hell. And we'll take it. That's smart. You know, at least that much brains. But what the Lord is looking for is somebody who, you know, really wants to let that fire of the Holy Spirit make them desire holiness and repent. Because there is something greater than Jonah here. Something greater than Solomon here. There's the eternal Son of God here speaking to us in his word and in a few minutes going to give himself to us in his body and blood. So, how do we learn to repent? Like real repentance. Real zeal. Yeah. Go straight to Jesus. There's no other place. You can't, like, go off to the practice field and warm up and practice, oh, now I'm ready to repent. You can't. You don't have the grace. Repentance is a gift. A gift. St. Charbel prayed for it. Prayed for it every day, the gift of tears.